Hi, this is Howell Jackson, and I'd like to welcome you to a lecture series for the students of the Law Department of Peking University. In this overview lecture, which should run for no more than 15 minutes, I want to tell you all a little bit about the course, what we will be covering in the series of lectures I have prepared, and also what I will be expecting of students who participate in the course. There are also a number of logistical details that we need to take care of before the first class begins next week. Before getting into all that, however, let me introduce myself. I am Howell Jackson, and this is a picture, not a very good picture, but a picture of me when I joined the faculty of Harvard Law School some 10 years ago. I'm afraid I've aged a little bit since then. At Harvard, I teach a number of courses on financial regulation, including courses on the securities markets, on pensions, and on the regulation of financial institutions generally. It is this final course, the regulation of financial institutions, upon which I have based this lecture series. I hope you will find it of interest. In this overview, I want to talk about a number of different things. Most importantly, I want to tell you what the course will be covering. It's also necessary to describe the registration procedures which all students enrolled in the course must complete this week. I will also tell you a bit about the preparation I would like you to undertake before the first class, and also the course materials we will be using over the semester. Finally, I have some concluding comments about the course and my hopes for its success. Following the overview, there is an optional introduction to the Regulation of Financial Institution website that I maintain on the server at Harvard Law School. Let me begin by discussing the course coverage. The course will be divided into roughly five sections. The first lecture will be an introduction to financial institutions. Then, in part two, we will discuss the regulation of depository institutions, which are banks, savings associations, and credit unions in the United States. In this section, we will discuss the basic justifications for regulating financial intermediaries, and then discuss some specific examples of the regulatory structures used for depository institutions in the United States, including restrictions on activities and capital standards, diversification requirements and restrictions on transactions with affiliated parties, and holding company regulations. The third part of the course will be about insurance companies. Here we will discuss the regulation of risk classifications and some issues related to organizational form. In the fourth part of the lecture series, we will discuss securities firms and investment companies. Here, our primary topics will be the regulation of disclosure and then anti-fraud rules and fiduciary duties. Finally, in the fifth part of the course, we will discuss inter-industry competition and the problem this competition creates for regulatory structures. Now let me say a few words about the mechanics of how the lecture series will actually operate. Each week there will be a lecture in the same format as this overview lecture. The weekly lectures will run approximately 1 hour, and you will be able to download them every Monday morning, either from the Beta server or from the Harvard server. Generally speaking, I think you will find it easier to download from the Beta server, since the transmission speed should be much higher. This will continue for approximately 15 weeks, which is the course of the lecture series. Associated with each lecture will be an assignment. Typically, that will be from the Jackson and Simons casebook, although occasionally I may ask you to take a look at some supplemental readings on the internet. Weekly class participation will also be required of every enrolled student in the course. The way I would like to structure this is for each student to make a weekly posting on the discussion group associated with that lecture. This will be a joint faculty-student project. I will try to respond to and react to as many of the student comments as possible. You are also free, in fact, you are also encouraged to respond to each other's comments. In this way, I hope we can simulate a class discussion of some sort and learn from each other. To prepare for the course, the first thing that students must do is register. To register, you need to go to the course homepage and click on the link to a registration form. When you see that form, fill in all the items that are marked with an asterisk and any other items you wish to complete. You will then be asked to make a password, which you should remember. You will need that password in order to participate in the course discussion groups. This coming week, that is the week of March 1st, I will expect all students enrolled in the course to complete the registration procedures. You should also go to Dean Wujerban's office and pick up a copy of the course casebook and statutory supplement. If you have time, it would also be a good idea to explore the Regulation of Financial Institution website, which is described in the optional lecture following this overview. Before the week is over, I also would like every student enrolled in the course to post one comment on the RFI discussion group for this overview lecture. A link to that discussion group is available on the course homepage. This first week, you can post any sort of comment you wish. You may offer me your suggestions about materials that you would like to see covered in the course, or if you have any reactions to the format of this lecture or other materials on my webpage, I would be happy to hear them. It is important, however, that each student post at least one comment to make sure that the technology works before we begin our substantive lectures next week. The readings we will use for this lecture series are primarily from a casebook on the regulation of financial institutions that Professor Ed Simons and I recently published. Associated with the casebook is a set of statutory and regulatory supplements, also published this year. Students should be able to obtain copies of these books from Dean Wujerban, and you should stop by his office to find out where they may be picked up. At various times during the semester, I may also point you to supplemental materials available on the Internet. Generally speaking, these materials will be available on the Regulation of Financial Institution website, which is associated with this lecture series. So, let me now review the assignment for the first week of March 1st. Most importantly, all students enrolled in the course must complete the registration procedures I've described above. You should also go to Dean Wu's office and pick up a copy of the casebook and statutory supplement. For those of you who want to get a head start on the first week's assignment, I can tell you that it entails reading through the first chapter of the casebook. If you have time, I would suggest that you tour the Regulation of Financial Institutions website, which I will describe in a set of supplemental slides following this lecture. Finally, I would like every member of the course to post at least one comment in the discussion area, both to make sure that the technology works and to give you a sense of what it will feel like to participate in the course on a weekly basis. Finally, you should make sure that you check back on this server on March 8th to see the first substantive lecture of the course, which will be available then. In conclusion, let me say how genuinely excited I am about this lecture series. For a number of years, I've been experimenting with various technologies in my teaching at Harvard Law School. And for some time, I've been looking forward to the day when I could use these technologies to project beyond the boundaries of my own university. This lecture series is now giving me that chance to deliver a series of lectures for students halfway around the world. Presents a formidable challenge, but for me, it is also an exhilarating prospect. I hope you all will share in my enthusiasm for this effort. Undoubtedly, we will encounter various technological difficulties in the weeks and months ahead, and I hope you will bear with me as we attempt to overcome them. But by the end of the semester, when the series of lectures is completed, I will hope we will have accomplished something that is truly significant. Not only will we have developed a valuable course of study for you and me, but perhaps we will also have forged a small new link in Sino-American relations. Thank you very much. Now, for those of you who are interested, I have also put together a brief overview of the Regulation of Financial Institutions website that's maintained at Harvard. The remaining slides in this lecture describe that website and the materials that you can find on it. I hope you will find this interesting, but if you are pressed for time, there is no need to watch these remaining slides. Thank you very much. The website is organized into five separate sections on lectures, internet resources, press releases, working papers, and a section on the Regulation of Financial Institutions casebook that Professor Ed Simons and I recently published. Most of the information available on this site can be viewed with an ordinary web browser. To read certain longer documents, however, you will need to have an Acrobat Reader. And to view lectures, such as this overview lecture, you will need to have a real audio reader. Both of these readers can be downloaded on the internet free of charge. I will now describe each of the sections of the website. The first section concerns lectures. This section of the site is currently under development. So far, the only lecture available is this introductory overview of the site. In February 1999, however, I will present a second lecture on the Unidentified Financial Institutions Exercise, which is a problem which appears in the first chapter of our casebook. In this exercise, students are invited to identify a series of balance sheets and income statements, each of which corresponds to a type of financial intermediary discussed in the book. In my lecture, I will explain which balance sheet is associated with which intermediary. Later this spring, I will present a series of lectures for students at Peking Law School. Associated with these lectures will be a series of discussion groups, or chat rooms, where I will explore the topics of each lecture further with the students from Peking. The discussion groups associated with the lectures will not be available to the general public. In the fall of 1999, I hope to present a second series of lectures for a more general audience. These lectures will be available to professors and students at other universities in the United States and around the world. I will be pleased to create discussion areas for students at other schools, and professors interested in having such discussion groups created should contact me by email. The remaining sections of the website follow a similar organization, which tracks the structure of the casebook that Ed Simons and I have written. In each section, there is material on depository institutions, such as banks, thrifts, and credit unions, insurance companies, including both property casualty insurance firms and life insurance firms, materials on the securities industry, including broker-dealers, trading markets, and investment companies, and finally, information on inter-industry competition, pensions and social security reform, and international finance. This organizational structure applies to the sections on internet links, press releases, working papers, and the RFI casebook. The section on internet resources provides links to other sites that may be of use to students, professors, or practitioners interested in the regulation of financial institutions. Each link is followed by a brief description indicating the kind of information the source provided. In each area, I include the principal regulatory authorities at the state, federal, and where applicable, international level. I also include links to trade groups and other organizations that compile industry-specific information. In each area, a sampling of representative firms is also included. Finally, at the bottom of this section are selected academic and other sites of general interest to those working in this field. In the press release section, I have posted news accounts, principally from the Wall Street Journal and other Dow Jones publications, related to the field of financial institutions. I will attempt to keep these accounts current, particularly during the academic year in the United States. In general, I will remove stories that are more than 6 months old. At this point, I would like to acknowledge the generous support of the Dow Jones Company for granting me copyright permission to make use of their materials in this way. A third substantive section of the website concerns working papers. On this location, I will include a number of academic papers written by myself and other legal scholars in the field. Also included in this section will be certain student papers of particular merit prepared principally by students at Harvard Law School. In addition, I have commissioned several surveys of literature to be posted on this page during the coming year. With some of the papers, I will include a discussion area where readers can post comments and responses to the paper. Some of the papers may also include presentations, so the viewers can hear the papers delivered over the internet. Most of the papers included in this section will be in a PDF format, and you will need to have an Acrobat reader to download these papers. The final section of the site is directly related to our Regulation of Financial Institutions casebook. It forms a sort of electronic supplement. Initially, this site includes links to free regulatory and statutory materials, which may be used as an alternative to our printed statutory supplement. The section also includes links to various materials that update and supplement the casebook, including, at this time, a full form N1A instruction for mutual funds, and materials related to H.R. 10, the financial modernization legislation that Congress nearly enacted last year. The site also includes links to working papers that are directly related to material covered in the casebook. Finally, this section includes a lending limit exercise that some professors may wish to use as a written assignment in connection with a course on the regulation of financial institutions. This exercise also provides an opportunity to explore certain materials regarding the professional responsibility of lawyers representing financial intermediaries. This concludes my introductory overview to the website on the regulation of financial institutions. If you have any comments or suggestions about the site, I'd be delighted to hear from you. Please send your messages by email to the address given above. Thank you very much.